Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I'll say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow now, is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host Eddie Trunk.
Hey folks, what's going on? It's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to the latest episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New episodes every Thursday, wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for subscribing and listening around the country, around the world. Appreciate you doing so. As I tell you every week, all the interviews you hear in this podcast happened live on my daily Sirius XM radio show called Trunk Nation, which you can hear Monday through Friday live on Volume Channel 106, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, nightly re-airs 10 to midnight Eastern. Anything you want, anytime you want, Sirius XM app. If you are listening to this podcast and you can get Sirius XM and you're not listening that way, you are getting a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of what I do on a daily basis on the radio. So please come on board and join me on Volume each and every day. We got a good one for you. This one took place, I guess, about 3 weeks ago. And it took place in my home in Las Vegas, where I was visited by Wolfgang Van Halen and Mark LaBelle. Mark, of course, the lead singer of the band Dirty Honey. I was doing some shows from my Vegas place, and the guys came by and dropped in on me, and we had a great conversation. They were about to do, the second or third show of their tour together, which has been out there now for a while, the Young Guns tour. And I appreciated them coming by and sitting in with me for an hour on my show that day. So I thought I'd bring you that conversation. Two of the emerging rock bands that are giving me a lot of reason to be excited for the future of rock. The Mammoth WVH record is real good, and the Dirty Honey record's real good. I've been on board with both of those artists really since day one. And I think it's great that they've teamed up and gone out on tour together. I hope more artists do that. I mean, I really think that it's great when the younger artists can come together, their strength in numbers, get other, you know, their fans in front of another band's fans that, you know, they may also like, cross-pollinate, you know, keep the scene going. I think that's really important. And I think it's great that they're touring together, and wanted to give you this interview to reinforce that a little bit about what they're both doing and their stories and how they've gotten to where they've gotten and what's going on with them coming up next. So get ready for Wolfgang Van Halen, Mark LaBelle of Dirty Honey, co-headlining the Young Guns tour, dropped by my Vegas home a few weeks ago. And we did about an hour of radio, which you're about to hear as this week's podcast. Upcoming appearances for me that I want to mention for you or to you, which you'll find on the homepage of eddietrunk.com, include West Hollywood, California. I've got a weekend of LA in LA coming up in April, April 22nd, hosting a show with Shark Island at the Whiskey. April 24th, I'll be just up the street at the Rainbow hosting the 50th anniversary party at the Rainbow Bar and Grill with performances by Stephen Piercy, Steel Panther, and more. April 30th, I'll be in Tulsa. Looking forward to being back in Tulsa at the BOK Center, hosting Megadeth, Lamb of God, and In Flames. May 1st, just announced, I'm at the Dallas International Guitar Festival, Market Hall in Dallas, John 5, Frank Hannon, Paul Gilbert, among the artists performing that day. And on May 21st, I'm in Houston, hosting Ace Frehley at Warehouse Live. More dates, more appearances, all on the homepage of my website. Quick note on the Dallas Guitar Festival, I'm only there on the Sunday, May 1st only, not the other 2 days. So if you're coming out to say hello, keep that in mind. I should be there from early afternoon until the end of it on that day on May 1st. Also follow on social media at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, fan page on Facebook for up-to-the-second news, info, and updates. And at the time you're hearing this podcast, I'm actually going to be at South by Southwest, going there for the first time ever. I'll be there to do a panel for the premiere of the Dio documentary. I'll be attending the premiere of it 1 week. If you're listening to this on post day tonight, and then doing the panel the next day. It's not open to the public unless you are attending and have credentials for South by Southwest. But if you are, I'll see you there, and it should be a great event, and I cannot wait to see the film. I'll tell you more about it on the radio and, of course, hear when I can on the podcast as well. So there's a little update on what's going on in my world. Again, listen on the radio every day. If you have SiriusXM, I hope you come on board. 2 o'clock Eastern every day for the Daily Trunk Nation. Here on the podcast, a little taste of some of the interviews and what goes on that show. Today, Mark LaBelle of Dirty Honey, Wolfgang Van Halen of Mammoth WVH, live from my home studio in Las Vegas. That's what we have for you this week on the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
With my busy life, I use Shipt same-day delivery to keep up. When I need a jar of extra creamy peanut butter delivered, I know my personal shopper Amber will come through. And if it's not on the shelf, she asks them to check the back. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Let's get to it right now. We go to my Vegas place. Mark LaBelle of Dirty Honey, Wolfgang Van Halen of Mammoth WVH, early into the Young Guns tour. Here's what they had to say.
Good to see you guys. Mark LaBelle from Dirty Honey. Good to see you, bro.
You too. Likewise.
And Wolfgang Van Halen. Good to see you, man.
Happy to be here, brother.
Thank you for doing this on a show day, trekking out to my place. I mean, most people don't like, oh, it's a show day. I got to rest my voice. Both of you guys are singers, and look at you doing interviews on show days.
We did have a day off yesterday. We both were excited about that.
Yeah.
Did you have the day here off?
No, we were in SLC. Or I was.
Oh, okay. What about you?
We came in yesterday, like afternoon-ish.
You were here yesterday?
Yeah.
You didn't text me. We could have gotten all kinds of trouble last night.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't know
that
you were
been,
here.
It was nice to, like, sleep in a bed.
Yeah.
Get some rest.
So the Young Guns are here. That's what this tour is being called, the Young Guns Tour. We talked about it. We had you guys both on Zoom talking about this. What are we, like, four shows in now? Something like that?
This will be the fourth show, yeah.
Tonight will be fourth.
Mm-hmm.
How's it gone so far for you, Wolf?
Oh, it's been killer, man. Yeah. It's been a good time.
Yeah. Now you're down a guy. You're down our mutual friend here and our Vegas buddy, Frank Sidoris. But you didn't, I was talking to Frank because I saw him a couple weeks ago in LA. We did a thing with Slash and I did a thing with Slash. Of course he was there. And yeah, he's out with Slash now. So tell me how you handled that because you didn't replace him, right?
No, I mean, that's how we did, you know, when he got in that unfortunate car accident, we did that yeah. run after the Guns N' Roses opening run. We did that as a four piece, like as an emergency. Mm-hmm. But then since he was out with Slash, we decided to just lean into that four piece. And I think we're stronger than we've ever been.
So that once sounds we get, like Frank's gig is in trouble.
No. Once we get Frank back, we're going to go freaking Super Saiyan, man. It's going to be nuts.
But the reason I bring that up is because I know when you were first putting this together for a live, to present it live, it was important to you that you did everything live, which I'm so passionate about, live bands being 100% live, as both of you guys are. But that was a big consideration for you. You were going to add as many people as you needed to make sure you could recreate what's on the record live. So you feel you're still being able to do that, no problem with way this is?
Very much so.
Tell me who's in the band. Tell everybody who doesn't know the rest
of
the band.
Yeah, yeah. On bass, we got Ronnie Ficarro. On drums, Garrett Whitlock. And on guitar, John Jordan, along with me.
Now, Ronnie and Garrett, I think both played with Tremonti, right?
No. I played bass in Tremonti. Ronnie was in a band called I Am Ghost and Falling in Reverse.
But Garrett played on Tremonti records, yes. I know for sure. Is that how you first connected with him?
Yeah. We connected early on when I joined them on that tour. Gosh, it was like 2013 or something.
What a monster drummer that guy is.
He's the best.
He's unbelievable. He really is. So you're feeling good about everything. The record's been out for a little while. Obviously, really... Now, I know you just came with another single and video,
yeah.
But it's really cool to see that you're now into, what is it, second, third year of working this record. Like, you're not...
It's been what?
What, a
I
year?
Mean, the album came out in June, so we're
is
what?
Is it really? It
feels, 8 months in, maybe?
You know what it is? You put out a bunch of songs before the record actually came out.
Distance came out way back in, what was it, November? Of 2020.
But there were like 3-4 singles prior to the actual release, right?
It was a long,
right?
It was a long.
I guess that's why it feels like it's longer, whatever. But do you feel like I saw you play here in Vegas and you were opening for GNR.
Very first rock band to play that building.
That's right.
We beat Guns N' Roses because we opened for that.
There you go. So I got to see that show and that was cool because first time I got to see you play live. But of course, as you know, first band on in a stadium like that, people are kind of trickling in and all of that. Do you feel like now that you've been out and you've done your own shows and you're on this tour that this record's really, you're really seeing the work pay off? Like people are really embracing the record and the songs that you made and really knowing them now?
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly, they were embracing it when we were opening for Guns.
Yeah.
All the crowds have been super receptive and wonderful. It's just been a good time. And we noticed that whenever we did a headliner in between the Guns shows, those were the ones that were just nuts. And that's what these are. You know, we're just having Dirty Honey Mammoth fans just going nuts the whole show. It's amazing.
What's this been like for you, man, and the band?
It's been awesome. I mean, we were obviously opening for the Crows all summer, so it's nice to get back to headlining shows and playing for, you know, crowds that are there to see you. And the energy is just, you know, it's like it's completely different than the opening slot. I mean, the opening thing gets too great every night, but when you walk out in those first 30 seconds of a gig and people are losing their shit because you're walking out, it's awesome. So, and we get to watch him every night. So,
right. So you guys are flip-flopping, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah. I think it's literally equal throughout the whole thing.
So who's on first tonight?
It's a little bit different tonight cause it's like a radio festival. So I think there's two bands on before us.
Yes.
Then Mammoth, then Dirty Honey.
Okay. So the first band on Kevin, what's the first band? You said you worked them too.
Yeah. They're not on now. Their flights got canceled.
Oh, really?
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, there's only one, Wolf.
Okay.
Breaking news right here.
Usually the artists are the last to know.
It's just The Warning, which is the
lie. All right, so the band, I've heard a lot, and we've had calls about this band called The Warning, which are, I think, young girls from Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys are aware of them.
No, I haven't heard of them.
I only became aware of them recently because they... like tagged both of us in something that they were coming here. And I was like, what is this? And then I found out what was going on tonight, obviously. And, just watched a video, and they're really talented and cool. And
hell yeah.
Can't wait to check it out.
Supposedly, they're super young, and they're from Mexico, and they just got signed. Jason Flom signed them to Lava. They just got a pretty a big deal.
Wow.
But I had people calling my radio show over the last couple months saying, hey, you got to check this band out. And then I found out they were added to your show tonight. But outside of tonight here in Vegas, and you mentioned there's a radio convention here in town as mm-hmm. well. So outside of tonight, the Young Guns tour, as it goes forward, is just the two of you guys, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. There isn't a third act?
Nope.
I was going to talk to him about that.
Uh-oh.
I have a question for Wolf after the interview.
Oh, wait. You can't do this on the air?
No.
Oh, this is an inside thing?
This is an inside thing.
This is inside baseball
tell,
over here.
I'll tell you, you know, tonight if we're going to do it. But I had something.
For tonight or
going? No.
Just, well, I'm only going tonight, so you got to do it tonight.
It wouldn't be possible for tonight. It's not possible. But yeah, no, I did want to ask him something.
So okay. How does the... How's it working? Is it alternating who closes every other night? Or
Yeah.
We play the same length set, you know, so it's not like one of us is doing an opening set and the other. It's just two hour-long kick-ass sets. Yeah.
So who's on first tonight?
Or do you not know? He just told you.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you guys will close.
Yes.
And then there's one band before Wolf plays.
So I guess it's the warning. The warning. And then us. And then Dirty Honey.
All right, cool. And also now, for you, Mark, for Dirty Honey, what's the latest track you're working? Are you working Another Last Goodbye? Is that the track?
Another now? Last Time, yeah.
What, Another Last Time?
Yeah, we have something coming out tomorrow for that one. And
what do you mean something, a video?
Yeah, a little video. It's pretty. It was a pretty ambitious shoot that we took on right before. I mean, the only reason we were able to do it was because we postponed this tour for COVID, about a month, and we were able to pull this thing together, and it came out awesome, so I'm pretty excited to see what people think about it.
So it's going to premiere tomorrow?
Yep.
And then, Wolf, I know you guys just recently did a video for Epiphany, mm-hmm. right? Tell me about making that.
Yeah, it was a good time. We filmed that on the last two headliners of the tour, and it was, I think it was it Raleigh on the Guns tour? Yeah, it was a really good time.
It's pretty much a straight up on the road kind of performance video.
Yeah,
thing.
Interspersed with us just kind of, you know, bullshitting around and having a good time.
But those never go out of style, I don't think. Like if you watch Wanted Dead or Alive, mm-hmm. it's still cool.
Yeah, it's almost like it was more for us. I remember when all the guys in the band saw it, they were like, that just made me happy. Like it was just like warm feelies from that tour.
Yeah.
It was such a good time.
I think that video concept always works. It never gets dated. It never feels old. The other ones where it's
do
like
every decade.
You get super elaborate with stuff. Yeah. That's the stuff that starts to feel dated real quick. But you never can go wrong with like the joy of being on the road and then the exhaustion at the end of the show. Like, you know, I think of Wanted Dead or Alive, John Bon Jovi falling on the stage and his head against the private plane. I'm so tired playing to 50 million people every night.
I wish we had private planes to fall asleep in at this point in our careers.
At this point, you're going to be sleeping on the sofa tonight, aren't you?
Yeah,
dude?
Exactly.
Wolf, you were just saying the first date was Denver mm-hmm. and then you went to Salt Lake. And the elevation kicked your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that as a singer. Are you gasping? Like, what's going on with the air here?
Just, you're very lightheaded by the end of the show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's not from all the weed in the air?
Oh, there was certainly some weed in the air. And that certainly may have played a part, but damn.
When you go through Denver, you can drive like through on the highway in Denver and you smell weed in the air. It's everywhere.
Well, we both live in California too. You got to remember like
yeah, we're not strangers to that.
You can land there and smell it as well. It's not
yeah, and it's and like that
especially
like,
if Justin's anywhere near you within a mile.
Who? Oh, you're
yeah,
your bass player. And it's fully legal.
Oh yeah.
Here there in California. So do you guys partake?
I don't. I don't. I kind of never really.
You don't
have.
Inhale?
I used to a long time ago. It's been like, gosh, like probably 7 years. Like it was like high school shit.
You know what's crazy for me? So I'm old as dirt. I'm 57, right? I've been doing this shit forever. I've been in the music industry 40 years next year. I never did drugs at all. Never even smoked weed. But I just recently, in the last year or two, with it being legal everywhere, started dabbling in edibles.
That scares me.
Why? Because you don't know what's going to hit you.
Like when you take it and then you're like, oh, I guess I'm on this trip. You can't.
You can't undo it.
You can't undo it.
Yeah.
With at least when you have like a joint or something, you can just like barely be like tested.
But here's my deal on that, Wolf. And you guys can relate to this as singers. I hate smoking anything.
Me too.
It irritates my throat. I don't care if it's a vape. I never smoke cigarettes, a cigar, a joint, anything. The minute I try to inhale something that was burning, it just burns my throat.
Oh, yeah.
And I make my living yapping. And I was just like, you know, I don't want to, you know, I feel ripped up and sore or whatever. So that's why I tried the edible thing. And for me, I have notorious issues sleeping because I can't turn my mind off.
Oh, it helps big time.
I can't get my mind to shut off. And I was like, you know what? Instead of popping a prescription sleeping pill, because God knows what that's doing to me, I go in these dispensaries. They actually have formulated for sleep. So if I can't, like, especially with time zone changes, I'll knock one back and at least helps me turn my head off a little bit. Because I can't. How do you guys do traveling on the road? Are you good sleeping on buses and things like that?
I'm kind of a night owl, but yeah, bunk sleep is something I very much enjoy. It's like
it's
your own little cocoon. It's wonderful.
So the bus, the movement, the sound, it's good for you.
Mm-hmm. I dig it.
What about you?
I'm trying to get used to it. This is our first bus tour, so
I was gonna say you guys were vanning it.
Yeah, we were slumming it. So it's an adjustment, but I've heard like it takes about a week. Mm-hmm. But to your point about the edibles, if you want to go the other way, the thing I do like is the like little mushroom chocolates and like kind of opens up everything. But I like to do it subtly. I don't like to like seeing, you know, gremlin walk across the lawn or something. I just like, you know, colors to be a little more vibrant, and it's cool. It's chill.
So where do you get these?
They're everywhere now. So
really?
Psilocybin is like everywhere. But I'm this is not something I do with any regularity. This is like, okay.
So what you're saying is you do this all the time.
All the time. Yeah. No, I don't. It's just that, you know, you got to pick your spots, but yeah, you can definitely go on a nice ride of a really good time if you're you know, if you're looking.
But to Wolf's
sort of
point,
thing.
Isn't that even harder to undo? Like if you start seeing the gremlins, you take the wrong thing.
Well, no, you know, they're like super. It's kind of like weed now. They're very regulated. And
can I go to the dispensary and buy it up the street?
I don't think they're legal.
Mark's trying to get me in trouble over here.
But yeah, you can get them. They're awesome.
So I'll come to the show tonight all hopped up on shrooms.
You would literally have the time of your life.
I'll be like, Mark's the best singer in the history of the world tonight. Look at this fucking guy's killing
just be, it. You'll just be smiling. Music really like is the perfect thing for it. It's awesome.
Yeah. So what are you about? So you're getting used to your first time being on a bus. You're like rock star now, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
because
really,
even with the Black Crowes, you were like driving in a, you were like, what'd you have, a van or something?
We had a van and we would like fly between like really long drives, and our tour manager, thank you, would take the hit on those. But you know, they were the Crowes were super good to us and super accommodating. So they made it pretty easy. Yeah. And it wasn't a ridiculous travel schedule. Like there were only a couple really bad drives. But yeah, with the bus, it's really nice to just have somewhere to go if the green room is shitty.
Home base.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. So talking about the Crowes tour, that was a great spot for you, obviously, having the opportunity to do that. And I think the audience I went to one of the shows. I mean, the audience really reacted to you as well. Did you feel that? Did you feel as that tour progressed and as you got out there in front of their audience, more and more people were like coming on board to what you were doing? Did you feel you were getting new fans off of it?
Yeah, for sure. And definitely when I really noticed it at Red Rocks, it was like, it was a packed house. And I know you've talked about this a couple of times. Like there were definitely a couple shows where it's pretty packed when you walk out there, and by the time you're finished with your set, it's full. And there's definitely select cities where the buzz was higher than others, but you could feel the momentum as we went.
Yeah. And you guys had a long set. You did an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was even a drum solo.
There was a drum solo, guitar solo, bass solo.
No opening act. That's a drummer. That's only because your first record is 8 songs on it. That's
exactly
all you had to play.
Well, that too. That helps. But no, they like doing it. You know, it's a throwback sort of thing to feature everybody. And, you know, they're good enough musicians to handle the spotlight on their own. And, you know, I think it's a good thing to showcase them like as well.
And Wolf, coming off of doing the GNR dates, I mean, I imagine that had to just be phenomenal experience, I would think, right?
It was absolutely crazy.
Did you get some interaction with any of the guys? Well, I know you know Slash and the guys, but did you get to, I think you told me you saw Axel. There was an Axel moment, right?
I had a moment with each of them. They were all very cool.
With Axel?
Yeah.
And can you talk about that moment? Like when you saw?
Yeah, no. Because
that's like seeing the unicorn, you know?
No, I just remember Axel came up to us after, I think it was MetLife in New York. And he just walked up to me and I was like prepared to be like, hello, Mr. Rose. Like, and he was like, Wolf. And he gave me a huge hug and he said that he loved the Don't Back Down video, which was crazy to think that he even saw it. But yeah, no, he was just very kind, super cool. And so was everybody on that tour.
Yeah. And you guys had a good set too. I think you guys had a...
It was depending on how much time we had. It was either like a 35 or a 45.
Right. But back in the day, meaning 5-6 years ago, it would not have been uncommon for somebody on the wings of the stage to be motioning to you saying, play another hour. Yeah. You heard those stories, right?
Oh, yes. Axel, from what I witnessed, is a changed man compared to those rumors
completely.
I heard in the past. Yeah.
Completely. But he was I went to a lot of those shows and I had a lot of friends that were in those versions of those bands. And I have a lot of friends that were in the opening act on some of those shows. And it was not uncommon for somebody to be waving their
arm. Do it all again.
And I forget what band was like, we only have one record. And they're like, play it again from the top. It's like, because he wasn't going to be going on till like midnight. And I did a thing.
That's crazy.
I did a thing with him in Miami. This was maybe... We were doing my TV show. We went down there to try to get Axel to do the TV show. And we got down there and they kept saying, he's going to come at like 3:30 and do it. And then you guys can watch the show. And then we're flying home the next day and we're going to get him. We're going to get him. And I was never forget. I'm standing in the ramp, Miami, in the American Airlines Arena. And here he comes walking down the ramp and he sees me. He waves. He's holding his dog. I was like, holy shit, this is actually going to happen like the way it's supposed to happen. They go on at midnight. He still doesn't come over. 2 o'clock.
Wow.
They're on stage till 3 a.m, still playing. I'm like, we got to get out of here. This is not going to happen. We're not leaving until Axel leaves the building. So my producer grabs me. He's like, let's go down there by the dressing room. See what the fuck is going on. We go down there at 4 a.m, backstage at the arena. We open the door to their side of the building. It was like a scene from Almost Famous. People sitting on road cases, cigarette smoke, empty beer bottles. You guys still here? He's like, oh, yeah, Axel's going to come over and do it. We shot at like 5 a.m.
Wow.
If you've ever seen the show, I can barely keep my head up. We were up like 24 hours.
That's hilarious.
It's crazy. But that's how we did it back then. And I felt bad because all the people who were vendors, like selling the beer and the hot dogs, they're back in the hallway. It's like 3 a.m. They're like, when's this motherfucker going to stop playing? I actually heard people saying that. It was nuts.
Yeah.
But now he's Mr. Punctual. Like, even I went to Dodger Stadium and went on early.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. But yeah, you got a good spot there, Wolf, because you had a lot of pressure on you otherwise.
Yeah.
Tell me what's coming up for you with Mammoth as far as obviously just continuing to work the record. But
yeah, we got a busy year ahead of us.
What's after this?
I think we're trying to find some time this year to get back in the studio and do another album. I mean, I don't want to guarantee anything, but I'd like to get that done as soon as possible.
This record was a long time and finally coming out.
I was trying to figure out what I was through that whole process.
Right.
You know? And now that I know what this is, I think I can crunch those 5 years into a much smaller couple months.
Right. That's what my point was. Clearly, there was a lot going on dealing with your dad, dealing with trying to figure out what you're going to do with this and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But now that that is... Now that you are up and running with this and established it, I imagine how you're going to put stuff out is going to roll a lot more.
That's the hope.
Yeah. But do you have a lot of stuff written?
Oh, yeah. I'm very ready to get back in the studio.
Have you recorded already anything?
No. I have, we have some leftover tracks from the first album that I'd like to take another look at and maybe add stuff or maybe redo entirely. And then a bunch of new ideas I'm stoked to get into.
Are you kind of guy that's always writing even on the road, or do you have to I'm going to take a week off and just write.
How does it work? I'm the kind of guy where just if something hits me, I'll record it on my phone and there you go. There's an idea.
But when do ideas come to you generally that hit you?
Anytime.
You're not like sitting right here. You could be sitting here and be like,
if I had a guitar in my hand. Yeah, probably.
Wow. And are you ever the guy that wakes up in the middle of the night and I got like you dreamed something and I've recorded it because I've heard
sometimes
artists do
that. Or there's sometimes where I'll be so tired, but I have there was one time where I had an idea in my head and I was trying to transpose the notes in my head and then write it down so I didn't have to go to my studio and record something. And it didn't turn out that well, but it was a nice attempt.
To me, the art of writing songs, as someone who's not a musician and just a fan, to me is the most fascinating thing. Because it's just, rightly or wrongly, I always felt like there's a million great musicians. You go to Guitar Center, there's a million great guitar players. But the ability to craft great songs that stick in people's heads, that stand the test of time, that people love, and how you get there, and talking to musicians over the course of my career, it's different. Like, some are like, I got to go into writing mode, shut the world out, and I sit in my studio. And others, like Wolf just said, they're like, hey, it just might hit me, and I knock it out. How's it work for you, Mark?
It's really any sort of way. Like, this new one was just a quarantine baby. Like, I was playing along some Stone stuff, and the guitar happened to be tuned to open G, and bam, like, the whole thing just came out in a 15-minute spurt. And then there's other times, like Rolling Sevens is just an idea. John was playing on the guitar. The whole band was in the room. We got to the chorus, didn't know what to do. And I think John was like, just sing along to the riff, you know. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. I didn't like it at first at all, honestly. And then it turned out to be awesome and totally something that I love. So it just, but the spark can come anywhere. That's, you know, we could be sitting on the bus. I could be riding a motorcycle. I could be doing anything. And yeah, there's a million examples on my phone of me just humming something into the phone.
The big difference between the two of you guys in this department, though, is with Dirty Honey, you mentioned John, your guitar player. It's a collaborative thing. With Wolf, he's a one-man operation. So he doesn't have to, like, you just said John gave you something I don't like at first. I'm sure that's a discussion and a debate or whatever.
No, I argue with myself.
You are.
Yeah.
Who usually wins that, Wolf? How does that work?
Wolf usually wins.
There was five wolves in the Don't Back Down video.
There was, exactly, right. You do argue with yourself in the video for sure.
Yeah, Wolf's got some good ideas, but Wolf usually ends up winning.
But do you need, like, as a guy who writes all the stuff, sings it, plays everything on the record, do you have an outside voice or two that you trust? That
Elvis Baskett, my
your producer.
He's the one who reins me in.
And he'll be like,
because when I'm entrenched in it, you know, you can't see the forest through the trees. But, you know, when I have Elvis there to kind of steer me in the right direction and know if I'm, you know, digging in the right place, he's really the other half of it.
And you had told me that he helped you a lot getting a great confidence as a singer, right?
Yeah, he knew I could do it before I did.
And how do you feel now singing every night? Like, beyond being in Denver, not being able to breathe,
do you have a regimen
or how do you have confidence every night?
Yeah, I think I can do it. It's really more of a brain thing than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, man? How are you holding up? You've been hitting it hard for a while.
Pretty good, I think.
Last time I saw you, you sounded better than ever. I mean, it was crazy.
He's killing it.
Him too. It's like, I told his band the other night, I was like, you guys are literally record perfect. Like, every night. It's pretty, I don't know many bands that are like that. Miles Kennedy is probably the closest thing to it that I would, you know, that I would recall from recent memory that's like that amazing. And Ronnie's always killing it on the harmonies, and like, the band is really good. We're definitely not that tight, like, at all.
They are.
I think you are too.
I don't know, but yeah, in terms of holding up, you know, you just gotta take care of yourself and get rest, and you can't go out and like slam tequila till 6 a.m. every night and do cocaine.
We're not going to do that tonight. Dead. We're in Vegas, man. I told you.
And then, you know, was it Thursday?
It's Thursday. It's close enough to the weekend.
If we had a night off, you know, maybe, but
it's the weekend eve.
No, exactly. As a singer, if you want to be good, and we both sing really high, so it's
yeah, dude,
you got to be rested to hit those notes.
Half
sure.
the time, I'm like, why the fuck did I write this?
Well, yeah, that's exactly. Just it. The proverbial painting yourself in the corner.
Well, no, and I have so many moments where it's like, I remember when we were recording, my Uncle Pat was there, who's in the room with me right now. It was like, anytime I would have trouble recording something with Elvis, I'm like, dude, how the fuck am I going to do this live? And he's like, that's a problem for a future Wolf.
A future Wolf. You gotta clone yourself now,
and
or something.
That future Wolf is the Wolf I am right now.
Exactly.
And I gotta fucking figure it out.
Yeah, well, I've
it is weird, you can figure it out though. I feel like if you push yourself in the studio, there something happens with the body where you can get there to be able to do it every night. It's very yeah. strange. I didn't think I could do the When I'm Gone scream every single night.
Oh, same. I didn't think I could do the End of Horribly Right every yeah. night, but it just kind of happens.
Yeah.
But we're talking when the 55-year-old Wolf is touring and has to do that.
That's a problem for a future Wolf.
Which is then a classic song, and that's like the big
but
song.
But you tune it down, you know, 2.5 steps. And that's...
Well, you know, Mark just made a point. He said record perfect and keeping it real, because unfortunately there's a lot of bands out there that are actually playing to their friggin' record. Yeah. So thankfully you're
not.
Yeah,
it's not record perfect.
That.
It's just record.
Yeah.
Well, you're exactly right. So you know what I'm doing. You know, I'm starting my own band. I think I told you guys this. Did I tell you guys this?
No.
Oh, you don't know about this?
No. You're going to be Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stones.
Oh, I got a whole plan.
You're a DJ.
Maybe you guys want to help me out with it too, because you guys definitely could qualify. So I'm starting, if... And again, I'm not going to go on. We're going to get calls and stuff. I'm not going to get a crazy soapbox about this. But anybody knows I am on a huge soapbox about it, because it's a fucking problem that has to be stopped. And that is bands faking it. Bands playing the tracks and this bullshit that's going on. And it makes me nuts as a fan. Oh, man, they sounded amazing. I didn't know half the shit was on a Pro Tools rig. It's like, you got to be kidding me. And then a band like you guys will come out there, pour your hearts out, put all this work in.
Oh, they're
like,
faking it.
Yeah, they sounded okay. I mean, come on. So I said, if this shit keeps up, I don't have an ounce of musical talent. I can't write, I can't sing, and I can't play anything. But if seemingly nobody cares because nobody else is and they're going to buy tickets, I'm going to go out on tour and I'm going to do a band. I'm going to call it Eddie and the Tracks, and it's going to be completely transparent that it's completely fake. Mm-hmm. But if nobody else cares that half the bands are doing that, why can't I do it? And I already got pro musicians who said they'd write the songs. They'd sing the tracks. They'd make it for me. I'll just get like a nice outfit or whatever, and I'll get a cool looking guitar. Doesn't even matter if it's plugged in. And the mic doesn't even have to be on until I'm talking to the crowd. And I'm going to just be like, you know, a rock star.
Out of principle.
It's that easy, isn't it, guys?
No. Out of principle, I can't support that.
Why is that?
I won't be buying it. You can do it. I won't buy a ticket. I won't buy a ticket.
I'll put you on the list.
All right, put me on the list and I'll check it out. Because I would like to see you in a suit with a guitar strapped around your neck.
I want you guys to cut vocals for me. You won't be on the tracks?
Fine. I'll be on the tracks.
All right. See, I already got some cooperation. Wolf, you make a song or two for me?
I'll hold the mic.
All right, so listen, here's what we're going to do. Before we go to a break, and then we'll take some calls because everybody wants to say hello to you guys real quickly. Current stuff, you did, Dirty Honey, did a great thing for with a cover of Prince, mm-hmm. Let's Go Crazy, and you did that, what, at the hockey?
You did it on a Frozen Lake.
Yeah, Frozen Lake in Duluth, Minnesota.
How'd that come about?
I think the producer was a fan, and I'm obviously like pretty intertwined with just hockey in general, and... We just kept coming up on like podcasts. There's two podcasts that like were mentioning Dirty Honey, and they're pretty big hockey podcasts, Missing Curfew and Spittin' Chicklets. And he listens to them both, and he was like, "This is just they just keep coming up, and there's this opportunity to do something with the NHL. And what do you guys think? You know, the Winter Classics in Minnesota. We'll do an ode to Prince. And once it came down to like the music and picking a song, and it was really to your point, like, how do we make this song unique, you know, to Dirty Honey? And once we got the hook into that, we were off and running.
Yeah, you guys definitely did a cool version of it. And Wolf, although you didn't record this, I saw just recently you started doing a cover live, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
It's not a Van Halen cover.
It's not.
No, it's just something we were playing during rehearsal, you know, and it was just a good time. And
Alice in Chains, Them Bones, right?
Yeah, and it just turned out to be a really fun thing, you know. And the song is so short, so if people hate it, it's like, fuck, you know, just wait for a minute and a half and it'll be over.
It's a tough song to hate, though.
It's two and a half minutes long.
Yeah, I don't know how you can hate it, but it's so short that it's like...
Can you do one thing that would be really fun? You mentioned doing a Van Halen cover just to fuck with people, play like a Note of Eruption just to send people insane. You got to be tempted to do that on stage one night just to fuck with people, just to get, because I know, I love how you go back at people on social media. It would be so good if you did that. Like just two notes of Ain't Talking About Love just to freak people out. What do you think would happen, Wolf? You'd break the internet.
I think people would cheer and then immediately be upset.
Upset? Oh, because you'd stop after
I'd stop right away.
All right. So, are you? You don't plan to record any covers, right?
Nah.
Just doing it for fun.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't plan on doing that.
Anything else you'd like to do live from any other band that you've toyed with?
Not really. No, it's just that for now.
Who threw them bones at you? You just...
I did. I threw
you
it
just
out.
Was like, yeah. I want to just do so, this?
Yeah, I love Alice in Chains.
All right, cool. Yeah, well, who doesn't? For sure. Before we grab a few phone calls for the guys, Wolf, a quick thing I wanted to hit you with, and I couldn't believe this the other day. It's amazing. It's been 10 years. But someone called in and told me 10 years since A Different Kind of Truth came out. Mm-hmm. What are your memories of making that record? And in the 10 years since it's been out, your thoughts about it?
It was a great time. I think it took a long time to work up. We started working it up in 2009, where we did She's the Woman, Bullethead, and Let's Get Rockin', which became Out of Space. And that was kind of like our proof of concept of like, hey, let's rework some old shit and see how it'll sound. And it was really great.
Yeah, I mean, I really think it's a really good record. And in some ways, I feel like it's kind of underappreciated. I really do. When that record came out, I'll be honest with you, the only song I didn't like from the record was the lead single, Tattoo. It was just, you know, I wanted like, you know, something raging coming out initially. But outside of that, I mean, even stuff like Stay Frosty kind of reminded me of Ice Cream Man and all that. I'm like, there's this real, I thought that record should have been like huge when it came out in terms of airplay and hit singles and all of that. Was there any disappointment among you or the band that it didn't connect on a bigger level?
No, I think it was very much an album for the fans. Like yeah. You're not going to expect to hit new people with a quote unquote reunion record. But yeah, no, I was happy to see how it was received. All a lot of diehards really seemed to love it.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that. I just meant it was like it should have been like two or three songs that are just, you know, modern classics. That because I felt it was that strong when I had heard it. But was it your idea to mine the old stuff?
It was kind of a collective. You know, I thought it was probably the best idea considering. Just, you know, the writing style had sort of changed over the years. So looking back at older stuff would probably kind of rekindle that sort of style.
Yeah.
And I think it turned out pretty well.
I was at that Cafe Wa show, their launch show.
That was a good
what
time.
A scene that was. Do you know about that, Mark?
No, I don't know about
so
that.
So they did a Wolf, explain.
Yeah, we played this place called Cafe Wa, which is what holds like 300 people.
If that. Little basement in Greenwich Village.
Yeah, New York. Yeah,
yeah, it was fun. We played, I can't even remember how long of a set we played. It was pretty short.
But 45 to an hour,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I'm using Dad's pedal board that he had built for that show because it was much smaller.
Oh, you're using it now?
Yeah, well, I'm using like the board itself, and I put my own pedals on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's fun to carry that with me.
The connection was that I guess David Lee Roth's Uncle Manny or something owned this club, this legendary little spot called Cafe Wa, and they thought it would be the ultimate underplay to have Van Halen play literally maybe 300, maybe.
Yeah.
And I remember there was no elevation on the stage. It was literally like a basement. So people were like standing on, I was standing on like a tabletop, just trying to see over the people. It was like a piece of plywood, right?
It was crazy.
And it was like super tight and packed, and it was pretty much all industry that got invited to it. And then I remembered when we left, like a text hit everybody that you guys announced the tour for that. So it was like a, you know, it was a marketing thing, but it was, I mean, to see Van Halen in a basement, you know, as best you could see him because it was just, there was no stage elevation. You're just trying to look over people's shoulders. And
I've been in that spot before. Yeah. Isn't that like the Hendrix place in New York? And
I think Hendrix may have played there, but the connection for Van Halen was definitely Dave's
uncle
or something. And he had grown up going there or something. So there was some connection there as well. All right. And the last thing I wanted to ask you about, Wolf, a press release came out about this today. I don't know if you're even aware of this. I'm assuming you are, but the first six records being re-released, are you aware of that? They don't talk to you about any of this?
You know, that maybe that's probably already been underway, and I get emails. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, and sure. I mean, I'm so entrenched in Mammoth World, but, you know, Al's the one who handles all the, you know, I'm there to help, but Al's he's the guy.
So Alex is steering the Van Halen stuff and what does and doesn't happen?
He always has been.
Yeah, but this Mobile Fidelity is putting out some super deluxe reissue remasters and super audio CD vinyl of the first six records press release hit today. So
cool.
See if I can get you a copy, Wolf. All right. So Wolfgang Van Halen, Mark LaBelle here. Let's get a couple phone calls here for the guys right now in our remaining moments. Let's say hello to, how about we start with Kendall? Kendall's in Cleveland, and Kendall is joining us first up here on Trunk Nation. What's going on, Kendall?
Hey, not much. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I hope you guys are both doing well. I look forward to both of your futures. I enjoy both of the catalogs. Mark, I got to fist bump you long ago when you guys opened for Slash and Miles in the Cleveland, Ohio area. I'm curious.
Was it a good fist bump? Was there a little something behind it? Or was it just nice to see you?
It was before they got hit to the meet and greets because they were doing their own merch table. So that's how long ago it was.
The fist bump thing, which is common now. Hold on, Kendall. The fist bump thing, which is a thing now more than ever because of COVID and who doesn't shake hands. But you got to be careful about with that? Doing fist bump with some of you rock guys that wear these giant rings and jewelry. What do you got on there?
That's a titanium ring.
Yeah, you just get beat up on your hands.
I can't wear rings.
Me
rings
neither.
Freak me out.
I mean, I can't wear watches, anything.
You got one on your middle finger?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a serious
one. I just get anxiety taking it off.
Me too.
It scares
I feel
the hell
claustrophobic
out of me.
With it on.
Me
it's
too.
Weird. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Kendall, I'm sorry. What did you want to say?
Yeah, not much. I was just going to bring up Frank since he is in both worlds, sort of how I.
Frank Sidoris?
Yeah. I was going to ask Wolfie, how did he become your guitarist since he is already with Slash and Miles? And if both of you have a story of what kind of personality he has, that'd be cool. And I'll let you go.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, Frank and I have been friends for a really long time. Way back when I was in Tremonti, we opened for Slash in London. We scared their audience because Tremonti is way heavier than Slash's stuff. It was pretty funny. But yeah, I've known Frank ever since then, and we've always been really close, and we are constantly, I mean, now he was one of the first people I thought for the live band. And he was immediately interested. And I mean, we play Apex Legends like every night together.
What is that?
It's a video game.
Oh, is that right?
And so, yeah, we're just really tight. Frank's a wonderful dude. And so whenever he's done with the Slash run, he's going to join back up with us.
Yeah, no, he's a great dude and he's a great friend. We hang all the time when I'm here in Vegas, but he like you said, he's out on the road, but it's fun. And, you know, he's a great guitar player.
Insane.
I don't think people realize the guitar player he is because he doesn't play lead guitar in your band.
He's in a band with Slash.
And he's in a band with Slash where he's supporting role, but I went to see him a couple years ago play at the Viper Room. He was jamming with some people and I was like, dude, I didn't know you played like that. It's like he's got a whole nother thing that people don't know about.
Nah, Frank rules.
And nobody realizes, like, so a few weeks ago I did this thing with Slash and the whole band and we're going down the line and I was asking Brent and Todd and Miles everything when they first ever heard Appetite, and I get to Frank and I go, oh, shit, you weren't even born when Appetite came out. And Frank, and Slash gets all mad at me. He's like, he was fucking born. He's not that young. And I go, Frank, what year were you born? He goes, 89. I go, Slash, what year? And Slash like, fuck, I didn't know you were that young. And Slash was all annoyed. It was really funny. But, yeah, great dude. So, and it's great that he's being able to, you know, play in both bands. Although it still sounds like Frank, you're in trouble with Wolf. He says the band sounded better than ever.
No,
without you, buddy.
No, it's going to be even better when he comes back, man.
I'm just busting his balls for sure. here's Eric in Kentucky. Eric, go ahead. You're on with Wolfgang Van Halen and Mark LaBelle.
Hey, thanks, Eddie. Both you guys are awesome. I get tickets to see you all in Columbus, Ohio in a few weeks. I can't wait. But
it's gonna be ripping.
Yeah, Mark. I don't know if you remember this, but last year, man, that was so fucking awesome what you did in Johnson City. I was the blind guy you came up and talked to in the restaurant before.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, I remember you.
Yeah.
How you doing?
That was so awesome. I'm doing good, man. That was. I just want to say that was so fucking cool because I posted on the Dirty Honey fan group on Facebook that I was coming to the show. And I go to a lot of shows by myself and stuff. And I was like, hey, if anybody wants to come up and hang out, come and say hi. And then I was in this restaurant a couple hours before the show, and this guy came up to the table, and he was like, hey, man, I want to talk to you. And I was like, who is this? And he's like, it's fucking Mark from Dirty Honey. And I was like, no way. awesome.
Did he want to bomb anything off of you, or he just, hey man, my I'm sitting over there, and do you mind picking up this check? You know,
what Eric? What was the tune? Was it Another Last Time that we shouted out to you that night? Or
yeah, I was gonna say that's my favorite song, and I've been bugging the hell out of people with that. Like, I've been calling my local station. I'm like, you need to play Another Last Time. Like, they'll play when I'm gone. I was like, you need to play Another Last Time.
Eric's out there doing good work.
Yeah,
for us.
Good for you, Eric. That's you're on the promo trip, man. That's what you need. Thank you. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll see you in Columbus.
All right. Yeah, see you there, buddy.
That song should be huge for you guys. Seriously, if there's any justice, that song should be huge. The minute I heard the record, I'm like, that's like crossover, big song written all over.
It's a crossover one, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Big time. I think it should be. That should be
Wolf,
a big song
Wolf
for
of Greece.
You. Wolf of Greece. So, hey, if Wolf and I agree, it's a done deal. It's going to happen.
I know, man. Right?
But no, that's a killer track. So hopefully,
thanks,
and the video tomorrow, you said, is coming for that,
yeah,
right?
I think that's going to be cool.
All right, cool.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, we're back. A few more minutes left to go here on Thursday edition of Trunk Nation live from Vegas. Wolfgang Van Halen, Mammoth WVH, Mark LaBelle, Dirty Honey sitting in with me. A few more phone calls right now for the guys. Again, at 844-686-5863. 8446 volume. The Young Guns tour has begun. The fourth show is tonight in Vegas. And again, just check your local listings and see if there's a date coming your way. There's a bunch of shows. They're all listed on the website for either band. And it looks like, how long are you guys out with this? You're out for
like 6 weeks.
6 weeks, something like that. And do you have something lined up already after this that you can mention? Like, where do you go from this, or that's not revealed yet?
I mean, we're both going to Europe this summer. I don't think that's a big secret.
Yeah, June. We're opening for Mammoth is opening for Scorpions
in Europe.
Yeah, Kiss for a couple of dates, and we also just announced one I'm really stoked about. We're opening for Guns in Holland.
Oh wow! Have you played outside of the U.S. with this yet, Wolf?
No, I have with Tremonti, but that's the only.
You've not taken Mammoth over
this
the pond,
be the
as
inaugural,
they say.
You know.
Have you gotten any feedback to the record or vibe as to how they've, you know, how it's
rock
been received?
Rock is bigger over there, so I think it'll be a good time.
For sure.
Have you guys gone out of the country?
Just Canada.
So that's far. It?
Yeah, so I'm like dying to go to Europe. I mean, I love Europe to begin with, and I always like thought this was going to break in Europe first, and it just, thanks to Gorlick, it took on its own life here before it went anywhere else, so we're certainly grateful for that, but yeah, I'm dying to get over there.
And I could see how you would feel like this would, Dirty Honey would happen even more so in Europe than here, because historically bands like Rival Sons and Black Stone Cherry all have done way bigger business in Europe than in the U.S. even though they're an American band.
Yep. Rival Sons was a big one that we looked to when I first moved to LA, and I was like, huh, that's an interesting thing. They keep going over there and they don't ever play LA seemingly. So that was kind of where my head was at. And obviously this, you know, took off before we could get over there. So,
yeah, no, I love that band. And I would like see them on the cover of Classic Rock. And then I'd talk to people here in the U.S. And they're like, I don't know, you know who Rival Sons are. I'm
right.
Like, oh my God. And Black Stone Cherry, I think, does arenas in Europe.
Alter Bridge too.
Yeah. And Slash's thing with Miles, Slash told me many times, got traction over there way more than here, quicker. Mm-hmm. You know, they do arenas, I think, too, over there. So that's interesting. How do you, what venues are, oh, you're going in supporting slots mm-hmm. for all those bands.
I think we're doing a couple random headliners in between. Yeah. But yeah, it's mostly kind of like what we did with Guns.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get a couple calls for the guys before we let them get out of here and get ready for their show. Here's Dane in Pennsylvania. Hey, Dane.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. This is awesome.
Sure, man. Go ahead.
So first of all, Eddie, when you start Eddie in the Tracks, I'll be front row. So you got one guy here that's interested in it.
And I'm going to sell a VIP meet and greet. I'm not even going to show up to it. It'll just be like a hologram because it doesn't matter if you're there either.
Cardboard cutout.
I got it'll T-shirt design. I'm going to hire Gorlick to work the lead single. Like who's? It'll be like the Milli Vanilli thing. It's like, well, he's not really on it, but. I don't know. I'm dead serious about trying to do this. And I've got all
could be a cash cow.
All my friends that are in bands that actually do play live and love the fact that I'm so vocal about this, they're like, whether they're public or behind the scenes about it, they're like, dude, if you need anything, just let me know. I'll cut a guitar track. I'll send you a file, a vocal track. I think I need the same singer, though, because I'm going to have the same voice, right, on everything?
I think it'd be funnier if you didn't.
Exactly. Well, that's a good point. Have a female vocalist on one track?
Absolutely.
Pat can tour manage me. We got a whole team right here. Kevin will do PR. Everybody step up. We're making a statement, Kevin. Come on. I got the dream team right here in this room.
He had the verbal confirmation. He's in.
And the beautiful thing is I don't need an ounce of talent to do it because if people are cool with it, then let's go. All right. Maybe I can get up and duet with you guys tonight, something like that. I don't know. Just run my track.
Exactly. That we don't have yet, though.
I was on the Monsters of Rock cruise last week, and there was a band that was playing, and again, it'll remain nameless, but they were not from America, and they asked somebody to get up and do somebody said, come up and do a song. They go, we can't do it. We didn't load the tracks in for that song. I swear to God, it's brutal. It's madness. It's just crazy. Anyway, Jesus. What was your question, Dane? You got me riled up here.
that was my point. So that we am successful.
Yeah.
So
doesn't take much to poke the bear with the big guy. Go ahead,
Mark. Excited to see you in Baltimore. It seems like Dirty Honey and Mammoth have a great relationship. So where did that start? I saw you two bands were popping up on a lot of bills with each other before the tour. And what was your decision to tour together?
That was kind of it. We were popping up on radio shows together, and we had a show in Columbia, South Carolina on the books, you know, where we were going to actually do a feature show of Dirty Honey and Mammoth instead of it, you know, being like a 10-band bill. And it went really well, and obviously we're aware of each other's music, and I think there's definitely an appreciation from a mutual appreciation here about what each other is doing. So, mm-hmm. You know, it seemed like an obvious thing. We have the same booking agent, so that made doing this tour a little easier than maybe it would have if that person was a different person for both bands. But yeah, I mean, I love what he's doing. It's a fucking great live rock and roll band, and I think he feels the same way, I hope.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You should have heard the shit he was talking about.
I know,
before
right?
He got here. He's
I know.
Just like, I got to be on tour with
I think
this
we're just
guy.
we're both you know, young rock bands kicking ass, and it just seemed right to team up.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah,
it's good. Yeah. It's
is been that going good, great. Dane? Well, you good?
Well, will both of you come on stage and jam together at some point during the tour? This is the last question that I have.
We've talked about it.
That's very much a thing that could develop over time, but
I don't know if we'll Wolf see. Heard us rehearsing the song we were rehearsing the other day for solely for him, so we'll see.
You were rehearsing a song?
We were rehearsing a song.
That with the idea of maybe trying to do this?
It wasn't Van Halen.
I'm not saying that. I actually give nothing but Wolf credit for doing what he's doing, his thing. Like I remember,
as you should.
What, right, because you could have easily gone such a
you know, we were talking about this last time, and I have the perfect example, not to take a little time out of this, but
no, for sure.
If you know people are listening who are interested, or people who hate me who are listening right now too, if you come to a Mammoth show and expect Van Halen. That's like going to a Foo Fighters show and being pissed they don't play Nirvana.
That's a good analogy. That's a good analogy. But what happens if Dave Grohl starts playing Smells Like Teen Spirit?
You know what? I did see them do... They did... what's the Rick Astley song?
Never Gonna Let You
Go.
Yeah,
they did that in the style of Smells Like Teen Spirit, and that was the shit. That was hilarious.
So you could do Never Gonna Let You Go. Or, in no, the you know style what
I'll do.
I'll do that.
I'll do that mix. What is it? Where somebody blended Imagine and Jump together. Have you ever heard that?
No.
I'll do that.
Who did that? David Lee Roth? No, he does all that crazy mix shit.
No, I think Foo Fighters actually did that live at one point. Shit's hilarious.
Hey, let me get one more quick one in. Here's Steve in Tampa. Steve, go ahead real quick.
Hey, you know me, Eddie. Hey, first saw Van Halen '81. Your dad was a big inspiration. 10 times, last 3 times in Tampa. Please clarify how many songs were derived from demos on A Different Kind of Truth, because I dig that record. I think it's super underrated. Your bass playing was inspirational. I play decent bass, semi-bad guitar, but your runs on that were freaking awesome. And I know Ed's got about 2 minutes left, but, dude, and I have the new record. I appreciate it every time I appreciate you know what I'm saying.
So, Steve, the question is...
Every time I listen.
The question is, how many
of
the
songs... You have a great upbringing and you have a great character, Wolfie, for dealing what you dealt with.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
So your question was, how many of the songs were derived from original demos, like from back... I've got the album open right here, and I'll look.
All right.
Tattoo was Down in Flames. That was an older demo. She's the Woman was She's the Woman. That was an older one. The Bridge had... it was the Bridge from Mean Street. You and Your Blues was a new one. Chinatown was a new one. Blood and Fire was Ripley from the 1984 demos. Bullethead was another old one. As Is was a new one. Honey Baby Sweetie Doll was a new one. Trouble with Never was a new one. Out of Space was Let's Get Rockin'. Stay Frosty was a new one. Big River was Big Trouble. And Beats Working was Put Out the Lights. So anyone with a different title. Anyone with a different title.
Seven.
Yeah. So
seven were demos.
Seven out of 13 were older demos, while the other ones were fresher, newer ones.
As Is is one of my favorite songs.
As Is is the one Dad played when he was on Two and a Half Men, when he walks out of the bathroom and he does a little riff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you find that clip, I think somebody, I talked about it.
I didn't even know he was on that.
Yeah, it was just a really quick thing. And yeah, he does the beginning riff of As Is. So it was sitting around.
So that riff was around and then you built the song around it. That's wild. I did not know that. I didn't even know he was on there. But that's a heavy song, too. That's a really heavy song. That's really, really
cool. Is that a good enough answer that you're expecting?
Steve's gone. Oh, Steve got all riled up with, you know, a bunch of stuff.
I hope that was a good enough answer.
Do you have a record deal yet?
No.
I'm talking to Mark from Dirty Honey.
Nope.
Dude, they don't need it, man. They already hit number one with a song. Really, like, it's so badass.
It's unbelievable, man. But you've got to have people offering record deals now.
Like I said, like, we're obviously very insulated from all that. Those calls go to management, and if something is enticing enough, I'm sure I'd hear about it. But I don't think even Didia wants to deal with that.
That's your manager. Yeah. For those that don't know.
Yeah. He likes
having you on Dirt Records.
I like it, to be honest. I don't know. I think he's got a pretty good situation where he's at, Wolf. But yeah, I haven't had any band come knocking on my door and saying, like, I love my label so much, man. You got to sign with them. They're the best. And it's just, I've never heard it.
You're doing something that's really, like, people are, you know, going to take, I mean, it's really amazing what you guys have done to get to this point without a traditional label structure. But as I say all the time, in fairness to our friend Mark Gorlick over there and your management company and your manager, Didia, the people around you are vast label experience. So it's not like you're sitting there pressing CDs and selling them out of your trunk.
Didia's famous quote was, I ran record labels for years. Oh God, what does he say?
Your manager used to run Geffen Records and all that. That's what you're talking about.
It was something
about,
like him being the best label president or something. And
so he wants two commissions.
Why
he wants a label commission.
Else do it?
He wants a label.
No,
get
he
ready.
Doesn't.
He's
he
sitting here
he
for
doesn't.
Label
he
and
doesn't.
Management commission. So. All right. Well, we're going to have to wrap up here in a second. In a nutshell, real quick, so far since you've been doing these bands, Wolf, the highlight so far for you with Mammoth WVH, show a moment. What's been the highlight?
Oh, man.
I got 60 seconds.
Shit. Okay. I think, I mean, that's not really a band thing, but playing on stage with Guns N' Roses when they asked me to play with them.
Oh, yeah. You went out.
That was awesome. That jumps out in my head right away of like, fuck, I can't believe that happened.
What about you? Real quick. A moment. Red Rocks.
Red Rocks was great. That tour, I got the call from Rich to
jump on stage and play No More, No More with him at Soundcheck. That was pretty cool.
All right, we got to go. We're going to run out of time. Guys, thank you so much.
Pleasure, man.
Appreciate you coming by. Thank you for doing this. Thanks to Mark. Thanks to Wolf. Appreciate them coming out to my place and sitting in with me on the radio, especially given in Vegas it was in the morning, kind of, and nobody likes to do, especially us rock people, likes to do much of anything in the morning. So the fact that they made the trip out to me in Vegas, I appreciate. We had a great conversation and a great hang, and I thank those guys for coming by. I don't know if by the time you hear this, if the Young Guns tour is still happening, but if it is, go out and see it. I had a chance to see it after I spoke to them in the interview you just heard. Had a chance to see that show that night at the House of Blues in Vegas, and it really was killer. Next Thursday, another all-new edition of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Please join me every day on Volume on Sirius XM Channel 106, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, 10 to midnight Eastern, anytime on the Sirius XM app. Hope everybody has a great week, and I'll catch you next Thursday for another all-new episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Take care.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.